Hey everybody, this is Sari.
And this is Sean.
And we're the Simpson Siblings, and we talk about The Simpsons.
And we turned it into a podcast.
Yup. Yeah, we got one of our random number generated episodes today, so every once in a while, if we don't know what to do, we just, go pick all the numbers of The Simpsons episodes and have a thingy pick a random one. And today it landed on New Kids on the Block.
Which is funny, because when you told me we were doing this one, I was like, oh, I have no idea what episode this is. And then you described who was in it, and I was like, I remember them being in one, but I don't remember what the episode's about. And then it all came back to me in like 2 minutes after starting watching.
Mm-hmm. It's funny, because I remember watching this when it first aired, and I don't know if I ever watched it afterwards.
When we were watching this reruns of The Simpsons, this might have been more towards the newer episodes and not one that was in the set reruns.
Yeah, it really wasn't, because they usually reran like seasons 4 through 9, and this was 11, so this was sort of like afterwards. Or no, this was 12.
Yeah,
I was going to say 12. It's so funny, because when I first saw this, I was like going through my anti-boy band phase. Because I had like a very, very short boy band phase that lasted like maybe 6 months, and I only liked Backstreet Boys. And then I disowned all boy bands because I was too cool for that.
I don't know. I seem to remember you liking Hanson.
Okay, Hanson was before Backstreet Boys. That was 90s boy bands, which is different. That's different. At least I'm going to say that it is. But I particularly remember really not liking NSYNC, which is funny because now looking back, I'm like, chill out, young Sarah, just enjoy things. But at the time I was like, no, I'm mature. I only listen to Linkin Park and Evanescence and DDR techno. But yeah, I thought I was too cool for this episode. And looking back, I'm like, you know, it's just fun.
Looking back, I can say you're definitely not too cool for this episode.
Yeah. And it's also kind of more of a time capsule now, because like back then, everyone was sick of hearing about NSYNC unless you were like into them. And now it's like, oh, that's so early thousands. And it's like almost charming that way.
Yeah. Yeah, back when you thought you were being so cool, and you look back, and it's just like, they're all the same.
Yeah, even when you were, like, trying to overthink, like, you were like, I'm too cool for the things that people think are cool. Even then, you're not being cool. Come on, just calm down.
Yeah.
Just enjoy things. It's okay. Let's get into it. So this is New Kids on the Block. This is season 12, episode 14. Originally aired February 25th, 2001. Written by Tim Long, directed by Stephen Dean Moore, guest starring NSYNC as themselves.
And then we have the chalkboard gag saying, I will not buy a presidential pardon.
Mm-hmm.
Which I know you don't watch this show, but the real way to get a presidential pardon is on Rick and Morty, where you turn yourself into a turkey and then get pardoned by the president on Thanksgiving.
That's how you do it. That's the logical way. I mean, that's how I would do it.
Multiple times.
Uh-huh. There you go. That's how you do it.
And then the couch gag. I like this one. It's like the prison escape where the sirens go off and you see the searchlights looking for them and they dig up through their tunnels in the ground and all beat up on the couch.
It's cute. It's almost old school. It's not based on anything. It's just Simpsons getting into shenanigans.
Yeah.
Okay, so starting out with the episode, we've got this whole, like, Homer watching the Olympics thing. And it seems like these sort of teens seasons, they seem to like having these hard pivots where the episode will look like it's about one thing, and then will completely change.
Yeah, like, they were really committed to the Olympics thing. Like, there was multi-level jokes, and, like, we saw a Hitler showing up a couple times, which...
Okay. I thought that was lame until Hitler showed up the second time, and I'm like, okay, that was actually pretty funny.
I wouldn't have brought it up, but the second time he showed up, the way they animated him reminded me of Bart doing the prank phone calls when they called his car phone.
Oh, yeah. It's a nuisance phone. Homer decides to run the Springfield Marathon after hearing that an Olympic athlete won a gold medal at age 38. And he's like, that's roughly my age.
Roughly.
Which, let's do the math. Let's see here. So he was born in 1943? If that's true, if we're going off the year of the episode.
Is it?
Which means he's currently 79. Homer's getting up there. There's really weird conversation that happens afterwards that kind of doesn't go anywhere.
What was that weird conversation? I'm trying to remember.
So it's like Homer's talking about going into the marathon, and at first, like, Lisa's like supportive of it, and he like says something mean to Lisa afterwards, and then he goes to Marge and says, "I'll do your job for a day, and you do mine, and then we'll see who has it tougher." And then storms out, and everyone just kind of looks at each other and shrugs, like they don't know what the hell he's talking about.
Because when he said that, I was thinking, I don't remember the cutscene that I do for this next. That kind of ties that quote all in, but it just hangs there.
He kind of just says, and it kind of, I mean, a lot of Simpsons podcasters and stuff have called him Jerkass Homer in these seasons, and you can kind of see that. Like, he's just mad for no reason.
Yeah.
So that's definitely kind of reflected there.
It just seems weird. Like, he just throws that out there for the purpose of being a jerk, like you said. And there's no, like, I don't know where I'm going with this, but, like, there's no resolution. It's just weird. And I don't know. I feel like if they did that in more modern Simpsons, it would be called out a bit more. But I don't know. Maybe it's, like, different styles as, like, the years go by.
Yeah, it's interesting because I can kind of see a shift because I'm actually all caught up with season 34 so far. And I'm curious how this is all going to look 10 years from now because people like dividing it into classic Simpsons and modern Simpsons. And now it feels like there's classic Simpsons, middle Simpsons, and modern Simpsons because these teen level seasons have a different feel than both classic Simpsons and the most recent season.
Yeah.
So we're going to need more qualifiers for that.
We'll have to document that ourselves and make up our own structure.
Yes, we need to get parchment paper. And we need quills.
We can call it the Simpsons Siblings, Simpsons Seasons, Serial something.
Yeah. Let's do it. It will be done.
Yes.
So I love that the formation of the Springfield Marathon, that it's honoring when Jebediah Springfield ran across 6 states to avoid his creditors.
It's a legitimate cause.
Yeah. And then they're all ready at the starting line, and Wiggum goes, "Ready, set, get out of here before I change my mind." And he has his gun, and he fires it into the air.
Well, I mean, he's a cop. How should he know better?
Like, change his mind to what? Is he going to, like, chase them down or something?
If they're going too slow, he'll just, like, chase them with his gun.
It's just target practice.
You miss the blind man. You miss the baby.
Oh, man, we need to do that one. That was one of my favorites when I was a kid. When do we get the freaking guns?
It's a good one.
I love this little scene where he looks like Grandpa.
Yeah.
So they go, "Hey, Grandpa's running too." "No, Dad's just dehydrated." And he, like, pours some water on himself, and Grandpa turns back into Homer.
Which there was one point that reminds me, towards the beginning of the episode when they were talking in the living room, there's a picture of Grandpa on the wall that's usually there, but it looks really poorly animated at this time.
Really?
Yeah, it's
I didn't notice
awfully
that.
Awfully drawn.
I love that the grand prize is a walking tour of Springfield.
And Bart really wants that tour.
Yeah, like, why? And the fact that, like, they've all ran through Springfield. Now they're going to walk through Springfield. That's your prize.
And a tour of the town that they've all lived in.
Yep. Yep, that's what they get. And Bart cheats by putting on a disguise and cutting in the front of the race. And he pretends that he's, like, Italian.
Mm-hmm. He's a run out of English phrases.
Yes. And a bird ends up stealing his mustache, and the mob goes after him, which, I mean, it's classic Simpsons Springfield mob mentality. They've always just got to turn on someone real fast.
Well, what I don't get is, why do they have to be so upset? Just take the person who got second place and bump them to the first, and so on.
Yeah. I mean, but it's Springfield, so of course they're so ready to riot. Like, they just will riot for anything.
Yeah, we should have, like, a list of how many riots there have been.
Yeah, because it's interesting, too. Oh, we were going to cover the Simpsons movie at some point. I kind of forgot about that. We'll do that in 2023. But they even had that in the movie that was, like, a big part of it, that, like, the whole town was a mob against them. And, like, back in season one with the Telltale Head, like, there's been a lot of mobs. So a random stranger comes in and saves Bart, who happens to be a record producer putting a boy band together. So, like, this is the story swerve. Like, the story's just, nobody talks about the marathon again. Nobody talks about the Olympics again. This is what the story's about now.
And it's always the choice between mob, stranger, mob, stranger.
Yeah, I mean, it's a hard choice. So they sit down together. It's Homer, Marge, Bart, and the record producer. And Homer says, "Now listen, we're not signing anything unless it's a contract."
Which is legally binding.
Oh my God, Lionel Hutz.
Or was it Unbreakable?
Which is Unbreakable. Oh, Lionel Hutz. They end up signing with him, and the rest of the boy band is Milhouse, Nelson, and Ralph, which is just, you know, kind of all of the main male boy characters, except for maybe Martin would have been an interesting addition to this one, but Ralph was definitely funnier in this role.
And I'd like to see, like, a little cutaway extra for how they all got selected. Like, did they have their own individual circumstances, or did they all get scooped up?
Yeah, that would have been interesting, especially with Milhouse, because I feel like he kind of would have a bad view of stardom after the whole Fallout Boy thing.
Yeah, he seems very excited, though. Like, you know, that was seasons ago. He doesn't care anymore.
He doesn't remember. They've gone through, like, what, 10 time loops since then?
Oh, yeah.
5 time loops? God, this episode is just dripping with that early 2000s style. Emphasis on the quotations around style. The way they're all dressed, the way the record producer's dressed, what they think sounds cool. Oh, man.
But man, what we have now, that's what the cool stuff is.
Oh, yes. Oh, man. The voice enhancer, and he says, "Thank you, NASA."
Yeah, what was NASA doing creating that?
Is very important. And the line, "We're real funky, but not threatening." Isn't that just every boy band?
Yeah, and they did like their poses and everything for that quote.
Mm-hmm. So then we have the band playing at the school, and we have Principal Skinner's intro for them, where he goes, "Are you adequately prepared to rock? Yeah! Silence!"
He's so upset, even though it was his idea.
Yeah, that was... I felt so bad for him. He's like, he told me not to play this song. He's like, no, I didn't. This is my idea for you to be here.
Which I wonder what motivated him to make him there, because it seems like a very not Skinner thing to do.
Yeah. And I wonder if it was one of those things where he's just trying so desperately hard to make the kids engaged with school and to think that something's interesting and cool that he's going to have them help him out. Kind of like when they had, like, the yo-yo group.
When they're spinning the yo-yos all around him.
Dawning of the Age of Aquarius. I absolutely love Ralph inexplicably having, like, the deepest voice of the group.
NASA magic.
That's the power of NASA. And Skinner mentions the orange drink, which made me so happy.
I can't believe I didn't notice that before.
Mm-hmm. It reminded me of the Mount Rushmore thing from I Love Lisa, where like the mouth's going up and down. Be sure to get some orange drink.
For the long ride home.
Yes. Okay, so I have a pretty fun fact. This is my favorite fun fact of the episode. This is my certified fun fact.
What you got?
When NSYNC comes in and they do their like little dance thing, and then Justin Timberlake keeps saying word. So when they were recording this, he didn't like that line. He said it didn't sound like something he would actually say. So as a joke, he only did one take of it because he didn't like it. But the editors edited in that one take so that he would say it several times.
Oh, that's glorious. It's like what you told me about the Kelsey Grammer and the Rakes.
Yeah, it was like that. And if you notice, like, they didn't even animate him saying it more than once. It's the same animation every time he says word.
Oh, it is?
Yeah. So, that joke was the power of editing. Honestly, it's kind of surprising. They really aren't in this episode very much.
Yeah, like, I kind of remember, too, like, whenever they did the dance in with, like, the music and everything, I remember seeing commercials for this. And it's one of those things where they emphasize so much on the commercials, like, that was the main point. That they were in this mm-hmm. episode, and then you watch it, and they're in it for like just a few minutes.
Mm-hmm. It's like even when the number generator pulled up New Kids on the Block, I was like, oh yeah, that's the NSYNC episode. I just knew it as the NSYNC episode, despite only seeing it once and then seeing it referenced, you know, on Twitter and stuff. And sitting down and watching it, I'm like, they're not even really in it.
Yeah.
Which is probably honestly good because you don't want to rely too much on your guest stars, and especially guest stars that aren't trained vocal, you know, they're not trained to be voice actors or they're not trained to be funny. They're just there to be themselves.
Yeah.
You don't want them like taking over the whole thing.
And to be honest, I wonder if there's budget concerns with that too.
Yeah. Yeah, I wonder about that, too. They seem to tell them, like, nothing of circumstance. Like, I didn't even write anything else after that. Like, they just kind of come in, and they talk, and then they leave.
Yeah.
And then it kind of cuts to this, like, weird MTV-style show. I don't know if you remember hearing of the game Space Channel 5, but it reminds me of that.
I know the name. I know nothing more.
It's this really weird game that came out for Dreamcast where you're like this, God, I only ever played it once and it was really weird. It's like a rhythm game where you're like a TV host, but you're also trying to kill aliens. But anyways, it looks just like this lady. It's very early thousands, like space, but also kind of the 60s sort of look.
Yeah.
And the way she says, that was the latest ad for Stridex pads medicated.
All the camera angles, like I remember shows having that in them. With, they're just trying to be like edgy and cool, like have the camera on the ceiling pointed down and always rotating, always pivoting.
What it reminded me of is the Big Brother scenes from the Ninth Doctor's season finale.
Yes.
Oh my god. That is so cheesy. But yeah, it made me think of that. But I looked up what Stridex pads were, and they are medicated acne pads.
You had to look that up.
Yeah. So this music video scene was one of the few things I remembered from this episode, from the first time I saw it.
Yeah, it's a very memorable music video.
Mm-hmm. And just the inclusion of all of, like, the extreme sports, like, they're parachuting in. Also, I feel like Lisa would have figured out this message faster than that, because the words are on the screen.
That's what I put, too. Like, even if they tried to pull something like this today, I feel like the internet would catch on in 2 minutes. But if, mm-hmm. but with the words on the screen, it's something that just would have been an instantaneous recognition.
Yeah, like I'm wondering if they should just not have included that, because it seemed, and like music videos don't do that. And we would have still figured it out. Like, Lisa would have still figured it out the same way.
Maybe it was something where when you hear it backwards, it's the audio is kind of blurred and it just kind of makes it more obvious so more people get it faster.
Yeah, it could be.
Like, they get it before Lisa does.
That's true. So, Otto gets a strange urge to join the Navy. Which, like, if brainwashing was that easy, so many more people would be doing it.
But it makes you wonder, is it already happening and we just don't know it?
So Lisa finds out that LT Smash is actually Lieutenant Smash, and that they've been using stars to recruit for the Navy since Elvis.
And it was once they said that and they pan out to the building. The building is labeled Classified Records.
Oh. So it's literally records.
Yes, that are classified.
Oh my god. That's terrible. So he says then, too, that they're using the subliminal, liminal, and superliminal. And then he just, like, yells out the window, hey, you, join the Navy!
And he yells to Lenny and Carl, and of course, what are they doing at the moment? Sending some outgoing mail.
Are they? You know that's in the next episode we're covering.
Yep.
I couldn't remember what episode that was from. I just remembered the quote, and when it came up, I was like, oh my god, it's the outgoing mail. You know it. All right, so they have this big concert, and it takes place on an aircraft carrier. And Ralph parachutes in on a car seat, which is very Ralph.
And I love the name of the aircraft carrier.
What was it?
The USS Sea Spanker.
Wow. That's pretty great. I feel like this episode would have hit different a few years later.
Yeah, it would have.
Yeah, because this was like pre-9/11.
And they're pulling into New York City.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think everyone who sees things like that now, they're just like,
Yeah. And like the whole, like, it's a bit, it doesn't really paint the military in a good light. And, you know, like, the Iraq War and all that, they probably wouldn't have wanted to show something like this then.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just interesting. It's interesting to see things that were, like, aired just a little bit before big events.
Yeah, and there's no way to plan for that, but yeah, it's just always awkward.
Yeah, nobody ever. It's like there's a line in a Doctor Who episode that was recorded in like 2019, and she's like, "Okay, I'll just drop you guys back off in 2020," oh, and you're like, "No, don't do it." But yeah, nobody ever knows about these kind of things. So the whole mission gets shut down after they see the new Mad magazine cover featuring them. They turn off the voice machine, and everyone gets to hear how they actually sound.
And that had to have been fun in the recording room, with them recording the songs as, like, the kids' voices.
Oh, that had to be. Well, yeah, especially because all of them except Milhouse are the same voice actress.
Oh, that's true.
Mm-hmm. It was basically two people singing. One of them voicing three quarters of them.
That's amazing.
Yeah. The carrier leaves and everyone just kind of jumps off. And, like, the water seems dangerously shallow. Like, if they would have jumped off from that height to that shallow of water, they would have sustained some injuries.
Yeah, that's a pretty big jump.
Yeah. So just the band, Homer, and JT Smash are left on the boat. And he takes the carrier to the Mad Magazine headquarters.
It kind of, like, this whole leading up to it made me think of when Bart was on the Focus Inn and they did that whole bit. Of the different things.
Oh, the
not the church. Jesus lives there.
Who else? Major League Baseball. So this is when NSYNC comes back and kind of saves the day, but also not really.
I really like the line of, "We heard what you said. We heard it old school." Like, what does that mean? With your ears?
Oh my gosh, yeah, I like that one a lot too. When they do, they show them the dance routine and they say close with a matrix. And everyone loved making fun of the matrix jump from like the 5 years after 1999.
And I think that was in the commercials too. I think they really, really? Emphasized that to draw people in.
My god. So he ends up blowing up the building, which also probably wouldn't have, you know, been shown post September 11th, but everyone's fine for some reason. And the one guy actually says, "I actually feel better."
Yeah, they do weird stuff when Mad Magazine's involved.
Yeah, they generally do. They kind of have a bit of a thing at the end where they're like, "Oh, you know, the Navy's not that bad." And he goes, "They're out there every day protecting us from Godzilla.
And pirates and jellyfish."
Mm-hmm. That's what they do. That's the job description. I watched this on Disney Plus, and it was really weird because the first part of the credits were regular. And then afterwards, they had like a thing that they showed when it first aired where, like, they were showing NSYNC behind the scenes doing their voices. And it looks like early thousands Fox style credits.
Yeah.
Which it's I know exactly really what you weird. Mean by like, that. Yeah. Like, it's like that weird blue background and it says The Simpsons on top, but it's on Disney Plus and it's really weird. It was kind of a throwback.
Now, what I think is really funny is our age when we watched this, and then how it's aged for future generations. I know having a 10-year-old in the house, we were watching it together, and he said, "What are they trying to be like, BTS?" And I'm just like, oh, how times have changed.
Oh, that's so weird. Oh my god, I'm like, I'm looking at my hands and they're withering and aging.
Oh, they just need to be hydrated.
Oh yeah, I just need to get hydrated. Oh my gosh, I can't believe he said that though. But that makes sense. That's, you know, that's, that would be the modern version, I guess. But yeah, I, you know, I love doing these random number ones because I would have never picked this one, but it's still a really fun episode.
And that's like, I like just picking random Simpsons episodes if there's new or old. Some of the old ones, like, I'll be like, oh, I know that one, but I only remember like a quarter of it. And I forget the rest of the golden jokes that are in there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And like, this is a solid episode. Like, it's definitely entertaining. And it's, I definitely think it's one of the better episodes of these teen seasons.
Yeah.
I don't know. Would you count 12 as being a teen season?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. The two teen. let's give a Simpsons siblings shout out to Timothy Burleson.
Yeah.
Timmy.
We do the same noises every time. That's what he pays for.
Yeah. He is our patron saint. He is subscribed to our Patreon, and he's going to get to hear an episode nobody else is going to get to hear. We're going to do a short episode. We're going to record it after this, talking about CC Lemon, which is a lemon drink that The Simpsons did some commercials for in Japan. And if you want that short episode, along with a bunch of other short episodes we've done, check out our Patreon at patreon.com/SimpsonsSibs. Join us next time for Season 11, Episode 5, E-I-E-I Annoyed Grunt, or E-I-E-I Doe.
Yes.
And watch the episode before you listen to get the full experience. So, until next time,
Hita, Viveya!